Steve and Kevin Hodge think that country music should still sound like country music. They think that pop music doesn't belong and should remain separated from country. They don't like Jimmy Allen or Kane Brown. They didn't like an article written by a woman. This could only mean one thing. Steve and Kevin believe in segregation. They only think that things should be done how they've always been done. They are racist and sexist. But Kane Brown is bringing pop music to country. He's black and has tattoos. He also kind of looks like a lizard. Don't be racist and sexist. Listen to Kane Brown.
My name is Kane Brown, and my eyes aren't too far apart.
We did have at least one person be like, "Where'd you guys go?" So,
oh, do we?
Yeah, Aaron.
Sorry
Aaron
to
tweeted,
that one person.
Yeah, Aaron tweeted asking if we had taken a week off. He was looking forward. I'm like, ah,
yeah, yeah. We to everyone out there, first it was because Kevin didn't have internet.
Well,
so
first
we
you're
it.
Supposed to say welcome to the heap de herpty derp.
Well, I was going to get there after, but anyway, yeah. All right, fine. Welcome to the Hodge Podcast, the official podcast of CountryHodgePodge.com.
I don't know when I'm recording, even though I pressed the button.
I'm your host, Steve Hodge, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, cousin, lover, Kevin Hodge.
Interwebs!
Before we get into what we're going to be talking about, yes, so we took a week off because, first, Kevin's internet was out until Saturday because, what happened, Kevin?
Yes,
that's a very funny story.
So my internet went out at some point on Monday. A week ago Monday, and it was just gone. Like, fucking nothing was working, and I was confused. So I set an appointment with Mediacom, my wonderful internet provider, to get it fixed. But
terrible.
they couldn't come
absolutely
out.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Terrible.
So leading into more why they're terrible. So on fucking Monday after work, I'm trying to get it figured out, and that's when I look to see when I can get a technician to come out, and they can't come out till Saturday. So I'm legitimately boned without internet from Monday all the way through to the weekend, which in the grand scheme of life is not that big a deal, but not having internet is a fucking pain in the ass when you live by yourself and you spend most of your nights watching movies and shit via streaming. Yeah. So it was kind of a dick kick that way. But we end up finding out when the guy comes out on Saturday that likely what happened was a neighbor of mine had their internet hooked up for the first time, and the dumb shit technician that came out just straight up disconnected mine when he did that because he was probably retarded. So it was essentially like I could have probably walked outside and like re-screwed the thing in. I probably wouldn't have been able to figure it out because it's fucking wires and shit. But still, essentially it was just like someone turned a big flipped off button and just like, fuck you for a week.
That's so stupid. But yeah, and then after that, sadly, there was a death in my family, so we couldn't really record after that. But
we should be back. We should be back now.
Which isn't
schedule.
As serious as not having internet, but you know.
Exactly. Thank you for your thoughts and prayers, everyone.
Yeah. Send Kevin your thoughts
to
and
me.
Prayers.
Just
he lost
me.
His,
specifically.
He lost his internet.
For five whole days.
Do you know how much Netflix I missed out on?
So much.
But yeah, so we're back this week. Well, because by the time we could have recorded again, it was like Tuesday, and I was just like, let's just fucking wait until Thursday.
Because we could have recorded and put one out, but then we would have recorded again for this week, and nothing would have happened other than
the CMAs.
Would
have happened.
Other than that, though, we wouldn't have albums to talk about, all that shit, so it's just easier to do it this way.
Yeah. So this week, we're speaking of CMAs, we're going to talk about that briefly. And then we're going to be talking about how we'd be sexist, and then how Carly
on that cell phone.
How Carly how Carly Pearce jumped the shark and landed face first into pop music. And then we're going to talk about Mike Moonpie and the Moonpies.
Mike Moonpie.
As you guys know, we've loved them for quite a while, so we figured now it's finally time to have their episode.
Yeah.
So yeah, first off, let's you want to do CMAs first?
Yeah, let's talk about CMAs. So the CMAs were yesterday. Well, depending on when you're listening to this, they happened.
They happened Wednesday.
Yeah, and so as everybody would know from Twitter and just the way we talk about it, we didn't watch it. There was no fucking way I was going to watch that. It's just a giant pop country jerk-off fest. There were some good things that happened. Like I saw tweets about how
Stapleton won.
Yeah, so I'll just go through some of the winners right now to just go over them. So Stapleton won for Broken Halos for single, and I think also song or record or whatever the fuck they break those things down for, which is good because that meant to be did not win. Which is, in a way,
which is an amazing song.
But, like, that is sort of a moral victory for real country music, that the song been destroying the charts for some godforsaken reason.
For literally a year.
Yeah, so the fact that that didn't win, that is, to me, some sort of nod to, okay, fuck that shit. Like, you can have it on the radio, but fuck that shit. So that's good. Carrie Underwood won for female, and I don't really care, that's fine. The musical event one pissed me off because...
Wasn't it Kenny Chesney?
Yeah, and I don't really understand the musical event as a category. It doesn't make any sense to me. But the fact that the Dear Hate song that Maren Morris and Vince Gill did after the massacre in Vegas didn't win is fucking horseshit.
Yeah, it's unbelievable the fact that that song didn't fucking win.
The category is musical event.
Yeah, but it's an event for Dust on the Bottle and Kenny Chesney to sing a song.
It's
together.
Just nonsense. Like, what the fuck is the point of that category if something as great as that, that brought all sorts of people together, will not win?
Been
it's
like,
fucking bullshit.
It would have been like if J.J. Watt didn't win the Walter Payton Man of the Year that one time when he raised like $100 million for Hurricane.
Yeah.
It would have been like he raised all that money and then it was just like, yeah, but Aaron Rodgers went to Chick-fil-A and bought an old lady a sandwich. Like, that's what it was.
Aaron Rodgers called his family back. Oh!
Yeah. Yeah, like that's what the equivalent would have been for that, and it's fucking bullshit that...
Yeah.
Because Dear Hate, not only did it was it for a good cause, she put all the money she made from it towards that charity. I can't remember what the charity's called.
Yeah.
Blanking. But she put all the money that the song made towards that charity, and it's also an amazing fucking song.
Like, yeah.
It is a fantastic... It's one of Maren Morris's 2.5 country songs. Like, it is a good fucking song. How the fuck did it not win?
Yeah.
And Vince Gill, a legend, is on the song with her.
Yeah. That one really pissed me off. Another thing that was good, Brothers Osborne won Duo of the Year again, which is good.
Yeah. I think they're pretty much going to be the Brooks and Dunn winning that year
until
they retire.
And it's one of those where I think it's kind of like, all right, whatever. They're just going to keep winning it, which makes the category kind of pointless. But as long as Florida Georgia Line and Dan and Shay keep getting nominated, I'm really glad that Brothers Osborne keeps winning.
I thought Dan and Shay wasn't even nominated. They were nominated
and
didn't win.
Sorry. Dan they plus Shay. It's very specific that it is Dan plus Shay equals no one knows.
If they ever split up and both go solo, Dan's fucking solo career better be called Dan minus Shay.
I would actually respect him if he did that.
Yeah. Just Dan minus. I would love that. And then like, I would just have to be like, Shay.
Yeah, okay.
Fuck you, bitch.
Another thing that was good, was Album of the Year. Kacey Musgrave won for Golden Hour, which really was
It's just a, hey, she's a woman, give it to
her. But it was like, so it was that, The Mountain, but then Life Changes by Thomas Rhett and Graffiti U, which is what the fuck.
Ugh.
And then, I mean, Stapleton's from A Room Volume 2. So it was kind of like, I was really just going to be fine with whoever won as long as it wasn't the Thomas Rhett or Keith Urban albums because those things were absolute dog shit. Because
The Mountain is good, then, what was the other one? The other country one? Oh, Chris Stapleton's was obviously great. But... I am happy that Kacey Musgraves won because she is great. She's a great artist, but it wasn't a country album. It was kind of country.
Well, so it had country songs on it, like Space Cowboy's tremendous. Love that song.
I love Space Cowboy, but she's promoting High Horse. That's a disco song.
Yeah. Like, well, and it's kind of to me also annoying because her previous two albums are really fucking good. And so,
and really country.
Yeah. And so when she finally gets the win, it's for this one. So, but I'm really not too upset, because getting on to another thing that is upsetting, the vocal group of the year went to Old Dominion and their absolute nonsense, garbage, dog shit existence. Fuck them to the end of the earth.
You are cutting out so much right now.
I was swearing constantly.
Okay. I heard Old Dominion, and then
it was just
what they win.
Vocal they win? Group.
Nah, fuck them.
I mean, granted, the options were that great. But
who was it?
It was Old Dominion who won. Midland, which Midland's music is great, but we've talked about our feelings about them as dudes. Lady Antebellum, Lanco, and Little Big Town. So it was basically a swift kick in the nuts, regardless of who won.
I remember when Lanco was just nobody, and all I knew was that song Greatest Love Story, and I fucking loved that song. And then they put out a new song, or what was it, American Love Story? I don't remember what the song's called, but I know they changed the name of it when it became a single. But then they put out like a second single, and it was the worst pile of garbage I've ever fucking heard in my life. I was just like, oh, so these guys are the one, like, no, we're country, and then just hop straight into, nah, we suck. Like,
classic. And speaking of sucking, the big fucking category of the CMAs, the Entertainer of the Year, went to Down Under fucking dog shit bullshit, fuck him in the ass, Keith Urban.
Yeah. All right, so as we have said on this podcast many times, I actually think Keith Urban has some great songs that's in his back, you know, early 2000s catalog
and
of music.
And I think we should fire him into the sun.
But, yeah, Skevin's never been a fan. I've always appreciated his talent and his songwriting back in the day. Now it's fucking garbage. So the fact that he wins Entertainer of the Year when his new album is Graffiti U, which is one of the worst fucking albums I've ever heard in my life. Like,
yeah.
How?
Yeah.
How?
Yeah. So, oh. So there's that. That sucked. That's,
who else was up for that?
Jason Aldean, Kenny Chesney, Luke Bryan, Chris Stapleton. And that was the other thing that was really annoying, is that Eric Church was not nominated, and we all know that if you're going to give an award for Entertainer of the Year to a mainstream, high-selling guy, because clearly it was all dudes that were nominated, so they were going to give it to a guy, apparently.
Yeah, no women that are good
exactly.
at entertaining.
But if you're going to give it to someone for entertaining, give it to fucking Chief, because he does entertain like a motherfucker.
He does three-hour shows with no opener. How can you entertain any better than that?
You can be Keith Urban and just exist, I guess.
Ugh, yeah. Pity award.
Garbage. And the thing that bugs me about the CMAs is the fact that it does bug me. The fact that they exist and I can get riled up about it, and it's just nonsense because I don't listen to any of that shit anyway. The stuff that wins that bugs me, I don't listen to them anyway. They have no negative impact on my life. But it's just still annoying. Like, when I'm on Twitter and I see that the CMA's official Twitter handle is literally at country music, I just want to fucking kill something. It's just so aggravating.
Well, it's because it's so funny because they pretend that they do all these tributes to other artists who are actually good, and like they talk so wonderfully about the history of country music while they like I've said before, it's like they talk about how much they love Merle Haggard while shitting on his grave at the same time.
Yeah.
Like, it's so shitty. And then it reminded me of the fucking Walk Hard joke where at the end, like, they remix a song and she's like, oh, girl, you make me hard. Oh, yeah, you make my dick hard. Like, it's just that it's like that is what country music is now, and it's fucking terrible. And, yeah, I don't really give a shit about the CMAs, but it is nice. Well, it's funny because Stapleton wins these because he deserves to win these. And what was it? Luke Combs won New Artist, right?
Yeah, he won New Artist, yep.
Yeah, so, like, that dude deserves what he's doing, despite the fact that we don't really care for him anymore, and his music has jumped the shark as well. But, like, at least the CMAs are giving these awards, but at the same time, you can tell that they're giving them because it's like, no, we get it, we like these guys too. We like them, we swear, we do. We're not going to promote them on the radio, and we're not going to get them any number one hits, but we like them. I even though I just found out the other day I was incorrect, Chris Stapleton does have a number one hit. Broken Halos did go number one, which I did not know. But that's because I haven't listened to the radio in 8 years.
I'm not convinced the radio exists anymore.
Yeah, it doesn't. So yeah, it's so like Luke Combs deserved it, but at the because I mean the dude did go from we saw him in an empty bar in Chicago to we couldn't get within 100 yards of the stage because of how many people liked him. Like,
yeah.
So he has exploded, and he's already a headliner. He's headlining at one of the Country Thunders next year. Like, that's insane. Like,
yeah, that's pretty sweet.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm happy for him, but at the same time, yeah, we don't really care for his music anymore. So.
Yeah.
Especially every once in a while, like, I'll be listening to, you know, my Heartfelt playlist or something, which has a whole lot of subscribers, in the car, and... It, you know how Spotify, if you have like a song that's not on Spotify anymore, come on, it just kind of shows up quickly and then goes to the next song. I see every once in a while, I get She Got the Best of Me, skips it to the next song. I'm just like, ugh, bring it back.
Yeah,
bring
it's really upsetting. Version. Really upsetting that they made a shittier version of that song and then removed the good one. It's like, just let me have my good version.
Oh, so there, I saw some other Spotify changes. They got rid of You Promised by Brantley Gilbert. So, you know, his best song,
classic.
One of the best songs they got rid of. But they re-added White Rose by Toby Keith. I'm pretty sure when we were doing the episode about him, White Rose wasn't on Spotify at the time. So
yeah,
they brought that song
back. Wasn't. I know for a fact it wasn't.
Yeah, so I'm happy that song's back, because White Rose, if you haven't heard that by Toby Keith, one, go back and listen to our Toby Keith episode, but two, that song is fucking amazing, so I'm happy that one's back.
Yeah.
There was another Brantley Gilbert song they took off that I liked. I was thinking to myself, it's because these artists don't want you to know that they actually had good country music, so they have to take off the proof.
Yeah. Yep.
It's just like how Ryan Hurd, his... I think it was called Panorama, his EP Panorama. It's an amazing EP. It's a great country EP. And he takes it down, and now he's just Maren Morris's fucking husband and plays this dog shit music. And it sucks that he's turned into that. But anyway, speaking of dog shit music, Carly Pearce jumped the shark with her latest single and just landed face first into I Don't Give a Shit About Sound Anymore, I'm Famous. With her new album or song, was it Closer to You, I think it's called? I don't know. Some really shitty pop song. I queued it up, the day before it came out. It was already out in, like, the UK, because obviously time zone differences. So on Thursday night, I went to go to it, and it said, like, it wasn't uploaded yet. So I queued it up, and the next morning, I get in my car, and all of a sudden, this pop song starts playing. I'm like, why the fuck did my phone go straight to this? And it was the Carly Pearce song. I'm just like, oh, come on, Carly. Like, what the fuck? She went from being the awesome backup singer on that Josh Abbott Band song to Every Little Thing to Hide the Wine, which is fine, to this... Like, what the fuck?
It's upsetting. it's upsetting, but it's a thing that just keeps happening, and so it's like I'm not surprised. I'm not even fazed by it, because it's like, all right, fine.
Yeah, well, because it's just such a bummer, because it's one thing if they've had hints of it, like how we've talked about how artists coming up now, they don't have to pretend they used to be country because this is what's popular, so they just have to copy what's popular to be moving up. But what sucks about Carly Pearce is she was famous for doing bluegrass, like actual bluegrass at Dollywood. Like, that was what she used to do. She used to be in a bluegrass band and singing at that. Like, that's what she was famous for. And then she got, you know, found by Josh Abbott and started and did the Not That Wasn't That Drunk song. And then she got famous for a song about, like, one of the best heartbreak songs that's ever been written. It's so emotional. Has a fucking dobro solo. And then she goes to Closer to You because I Love You, Tattoo Tribal Man. Like,
fucking Tribal Man. Tribal Man.
I blame him too. But it was so funny. There was like some tweet where it's just like, oh my God, Carly Pearce went from heartbreak to falling in love in one album. And I was just like, yeah, it's called songwriting. And most people do that on the same album.
Like, usually.
Yeah, you don't just have a heartbreak album and hop into a happy album. That's not a fucking thing, you dipshit. But, I mean, unless you're bad, but... yeah, so it sucks, like, when we started this podcast, we were I'm pretty sure if you go back to, like, episode 1 or 2 or something, we're talking about how excited we are for Carly Pearce because Every Little Thing is such a good song. And then her album came out, and we're like, I mean, there was some good on it. There was some not good on it. Like, If My Name Was Whiskey is a great song, too. But
yep.
So we're like, maybe down the road we'll do a Carly Pierce episode. It's never happening. We're never... There's never going to be a Carly Pierce episode.
Nope. Spoiler alert.
Yeah. It's just never happening. Sorry. Like, I don't know why that just reminded me of the CMA joke I saw. I think, like, Grady Smith tweeted it out or something, where it was some line that they had at the CMAs where Brad Paisley was just like, 2018 has been a great year for male country artists, and Karen Wood's like, finally.
Yep.
So that was funny. But, I love Brad Paisley and Carrie Underwood as hosts, but I wish they'd host better music.
Yeah.
Except I think Brad Paisley has a new single coming out tomorrow about the rodeo, so I'll have to check that out. Maybe it'll actually be a good one.
I did see people tweeting about it. I think it was available for listen somewhere, and I think he played it last night. And apparently it is. I think apparently it's like a George Strait tribute type song.
Oh, that's awesome. I mean, Brad Paisley, he'd had some missteps with, Wheelhouse wasn't good, or it wasn't, they had some good songs on it, but overall it wasn't that good of an album. And then Moonshine in the Trunk was mostly just mediocre to bad. And then Love and War had some really good ones on it, but still was kind of not classic Brad. There were still some that were just kind of mediocre. So I'm hoping with this next one you can go back and get some classic fucking Brad Paisley out of it, because obviously I'm a Brad Paisley apologist, but I know when he's not being like himself or very good country. So I hope
Accidental Racist, greatest song ever.
That is true. That is a masterpiece.
I saw the track listing on his new album, and it's actually just that
on
new
purpose racist.
Well, it's just that that George Strait tribute song, new single, and then it's just Accidental Racist parts 3 through 11.
I can't wait. I can't fucking wait. But yeah. So also, all right. So the last thing before we get into Mike and Moon Pies is. This is 2 weeks old, so I'm not that angry about it anymore. If we had recorded right after this happened, I would have been a much angrier person.
But anger.
If you remember, if you're a regular listener, thank you. If not, hello. Go back and listen to our Coulter Wall episode.
Hello.
We talked about how there was this dog shit article about how Kane Brown is the future of country music, and you need to... just kind of get used to it because it's being urbanized and, you know, not to put words in her mouth because I got in trouble for saying that. But so pretty much Kane Brown is the future of country music, and the only reason he's not more popular is because he's black and has tattoos. And so we talked shit about this article because it was a bad article. And the author, her name is... Miranda Moss, I think.
I think it's Marissa. And
Marissa Moss, Mandy Moss, Michael Jackson Moss, I don't know. She wrote an article, or she tweeted at us saying, like, you know what, I'm just going to pull it up because I don't want her to get mad for misquoting her tweets again.
I would like to go on the record and say I don't care.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I'm not mad about this anymore because I just don't give a shit, but it's just really funny that... We talked about how once you call someone racist, the argument's over, because now instead of it being about an argument or a discussion, it's now you just being like, no, I'm not racist. And that's what the conversation turns into. And so that's exactly what happened when she called us sexist, because it was no longer about what I had to say. It was now just me being like, no, I'm not sexist. Like, just because you don't like what we said. But the thing that was the most egregious about it was the fact that in her tweet she said, please be decent enough not to call a woman journalist some chick. One, I call any girl I don't know some chick, just like I call any dude I don't know some dude. And two, to be so pretentious to say, don't call a woman journalist this. It's like, you're not that important just because you're a journalist. I don't have to respect your profession. You're a journalist. You don't have to respect us. We're podcasters. We don't matter. But I just thought it was egregious. And if you think we're sexist, well, okay.
I don't want to even talk about it.
All right, fine. We'll move on. Jesus Christ.
It's just beating a dead horse. We talked about it we talked about the article, and then 2 weeks passed, and I don't care to bring it up because it's just the same shit over and over again.
All right. Mike and the Moon Pies is a band. Mike Moon, who is the lead singer, is Mike Moon Pie.
He's legal name. Great, Mike
he's a great man. I met him. If you're, like I said, a regular listener, you know this because we saw Jason Boland back in like March or February or whatever it was in Iowa City, and Mike Moon Pie and the Moon Pies were the openers. And so I talked to him after the show, and he was a really nice guy. I just told him about how we have our site and everything. We're just trying to promote the best country music that we can and trying to get everyone's name out there. And he was really nice, and we chat for a while, and Kevin was in the front row because he likes standing in crowds, whereas I hate it, and I fucking like standing in the back of crowds because I don't like people being by me.
Yeah, it's not totally accurate because I do hate crowds. I hate them so much.
Yeah, you and Jay always want to stand as close to the stage as possible, whereas I like standing in the back.
It depends on how many beers I've had.
But yeah, so they're just a fucking phenomenal band. I know, like, Saving Country Music is a bigger audience and gets their name out there, obviously. But so they're kind of getting the views that they should be, finally. They're getting the respect that they deserve, and hopefully they get more out there, because their latest album, Steak Night at the Prairie Rose, is an amazing fucking
yeah
album,
and I think that when it got released, it started to get a pretty decent amount of traction, because like I don't know too much about them and their rise and, you know, all of that and their exposure and things like that, but I do remember when it got released, there were a lot of people that were talking about it, because there was a lot of people talking about how this is one of the best albums that's going to even come out this year, like, remember it, check it out, all that stuff. And I think it was a really good moment for them. And it's a great album, like you said. So it's certainly deserving of that, you know, of that praise and remembering it that way. And it's really great because they're so, like, traditional sounding. They're one of those bands that you could listen to an album, and other than the, you know, recording sound quality, you'd be like, this could have been recorded I don't know when. And I really love that sound.
Which means it's out of date because pop is the new country. Stupid.
There wasn't a single bass drop, and for that reason, I'm out.
It's like Shark Tank. It's like, and for that reason, I'm out.
Exactly.
But yeah, so they're phenomenal. Let's just hop into the Toop tune. Number 10 is The Worst Thing.
When I met you, you with my best friend. Got to thinking about what might have been. So I took my chances and we danced to that song. Is that the worst thing that I've ever done? I begged and I cheated, I lied and I stole. I've taken the worst thing that I've ever done.
It's about Kane Brown.
Got him.
No, this is on your top 10, so I'm not sure actually what this one's about.
Just 1 second.
So, Kevin, have you heard of the one about the Jew and the... I don't know. Just trying to pass time.
Is one that I couldn't find the lyrics for, and now that we're sitting here, I can't think of what it is.
All right, it's good. Listen to it. Number 9. This is one I don't know, so I can't help you with that one. Number 9, though, is Damn Straight.
She moved herself up to Nashville, and I got you fellas to thank. Well, in Merlin, looking at you, I'm talking about you, Hank. How could you tell? And just like you were picking a rose. Damn Straight.
Uh, I love this one just because, well, one, it's just clever the way it is. It's damn straight, and it's spelled like George Strait's name.
Yeah.
And so the lyric is damn straight, damn Hank, damn Jones. Like, it's just this kind of, like, kind of a sarcastic damn straight, and it's not like, fuck these guys, they're not country. It's like, damn them for being so good at what they're doing and, like, getting their messages across. And, like, I think it's, like, damn Trit for having all those stinking hits. And it's just, like, all these – it's just really good because it's kind of him being, like, damn you guys for having these songs that mean so much to me, like, kind of thing. And it's just a really clever song from one of their older albums, and so I've loved it. I love this one, and I had to include it on the top 10. Do you have anything to add to that one?
No, sorry. I'm trying to find what the... Because I'm getting the worst thing in my brain, because it's a song where he says, like, is that the worst thing I've ever done or something like that?
Oh, yeah.
It's off of Steak Night, and I'm blanking on the specific things. So I found a review.
Kind of like isn't it kind of like a sarcastic one of, like, is this really the worst thing I've ever done kind of thing?
It's more like it's a somber, like... Because, like, I just pulled up a review, and I think this says good things. This is a review by... Oh, review. The review. Okay, fine. I just scrolled up to the top. Okay. It says, a sentimental ballad that reflects on a life of questionable choices. The worst thing is empowered by the appearance of a harmonica and the addition of an accordion, further highlighted in a dark bridge that serves as a smooth transition to a new key. So it's, you know... It's this somber, I feel, kind of deal about how he's, you know, he's done a lot of poor things, but as he's gone, like, is this the worst thing? Is that the worst thing? It's just, you know, reflective. And I wish I could find the lyrics so I could point them out better, but they don't exist on the internet, apparently.
Yeah. Mike and the Poopies. Mike and the Moon Pies is like a huge band, so some of their stuff is more difficult to find on the internet, which sucks, but they're fucking great.
Yeah. Damn it.
Yeah, I mean, because they have, what, four albums and an EP out? Like, I didn't really, like, there are bands that will be like, let's do this week, but we'd only heard, like, their latest two or three albums, and then we go on, they have, like, six albums. Like, what the fuck were these other ones? Where were these ones?
Yep.
How did I not know these existed? So Mike and the Moon Pies was one of those where I go on, and they had two albums I hadn't heard before. I was like, oh, shit, I got some listening to
them. Yeah, absolutely. And they're great, and their sound is great. And that's, I mean, that's the other thing, too, about them. That's, it's, you can listen to an whole album, you know, start to fishing, oh my God, my brain
start
is
broken. Start to fishing.
I want Friday to start Kevin, fishing. Okay. My brain is broken. Okay. I'm tired. But you can listen to an album from start to finish, and it's got the consistent sound that is good from just the whole way through. Like, not in a monotonous way, but in a, they're just good, and they make good music.
Yeah. So number 8 is The Hard Way.
I knew I couldn't be a family man. I just had to get my hands on your body. I knew I couldn't take care of you, 'cause I do whatever I want to do with my money.
I was going to say, make a dick joke. Do it! No.
I know, I was trying to think of one, but I, too, am tired.
So this is a song where, so the Hard Way is about, he has the line in there, like, but you found out the hard way, and it's basically about, you know, him and, you know, like, the beginning talks about with him saying, like, I do whatever I want with my money, but you found out the hard way. And so just basically him treating his lady wrong, and she finds out that he's not that great in a variety of instances, the hard way.
Yeah. Yeah. Fucking, some of their songs' lyrics are just so fucking good. I remember, actually, when I was listening to it, the song Road Crew came on, obviously, because I was listening to all their shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember seeing something on Twitter, like, Mike Moonpie really snarkily kind of responded to someone's tweet where it's just like, I feel like all their songs are just, like, about touring. And it's just like, yeah, because that's what we do a lot of.
And, it's almost like most of my life is taken up by touring.
Yeah, and so I love that their lyrics are very just kind of about playing music. It's not like Tim McGraw living on his fucking $20 million mansion, you know, land. He's not out there singing like, oh, when I'm a farmer and I live poor. It's like, dude, you've been rich since 1983. Like, go fuck yourself. So I like that they sing up. Jesus Christ.
That one took me over. In the words of Tyler Childers, it took me over from the toenails to the crown. That was, whoo. Goddamn.
I think you're possessed on that one.
I have had some fucking sinus shit going down lately.
Yeah.
And I will randomly, because, like, you know what happens when you got to sneeze? You just, you feel it and you sneeze. I've been having it
in my life.
But I've been having it where, like, I can feel it building, and then it goes from, like, oh, I have to sneeze, to, like, oh my God, the inside of my face hurts. And then I sneeze.
Nice. What the fuck are we talking about?
I don't know.
Oh, about how their songs are actually relatable. How, yeah, like Tim McGraw and Toby Keith are all singing like, oh, the hard life of, you know, being poor. Right, well, like, you haven't had that in 20
years. Yeah, and it goes to show, you know, it's, you can tell that they write these songs because they wouldn't be getting someone to write a bunch of songs about being on the road for them. They're actually writing them themselves.
Yeah, exactly. Number 7, Getting High at Home.
I'm still loving down at the beer joint, throwing a couple back, spending my money on the jukebox, playing guitars and Cadillacs. But now I don't need no bartender, I can roll my own. I love to get drunk in the honky tonk.
I like this. So this song kind of reminds me of, you know, Working Men Blues.
College Men.
Yeah. But Working Men Blues by Merle Haggard, where he says in that song, you know, I like to drink a beer at tavern and sing a little bit of them Working Man Blues. And so when he's saying, like, I like to drink beer at the juke joint or whatever the word says that he says, and get high at home.
I like drinking down at the juke.
But I also like it because in my older days, I like the idea of just, fuck it, I want to stay at home. And so,
yeah, exactly.
So him just saying, like, I like to go out and have beers and get high at home. And so it's just like, yeah, just have your own time, chill at home. It's just, it's good. And I do like you said, like the pacing of the song and the way that they're shown is like, bah, bah. Like, I don't know. It's nice. I like it.
Well, yeah, I love it because especially at our age, we're in our late 20s now. And it's funny just being like where it used to be like, it's 9 o'clock bars. Now let's go.
Yeah.
We're closing it down. We're going to be out there till 3. And nowadays it's just like, oh, it's already 8:30. I guess let's just get drunk here and go to sleep.
Exactly. Oh, well, I guess I'm not going out today.
Yeah, exactly. And especially me living at home again, I haven't gone out to get drunk in, I genuinely don't know, last time I lived out there in Iowa is probably the last time I've been drunk.
I've been finding out why happy hours exist, because it's so much better to just be like, I'm going to come from work, have a couple drinks, and then go home and then be done with the day.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, actually, I lied. Last time I was drunk was the pregame Medicine Stone. That was it. That was last time I was drunk, which I got a little too drunk.
That was drunk. That was I would describe.
That was college drunk. Like, unbelievable levels of drinking. What was that beer called? That shitty fucking beer.
Frio 6.4. Frio 6.4, so you can never forget how much booze is in there, because in Oklahoma you haven't had full strength beer ever.
I just loved, though, when the Oklahomans were like, we're getting that 6.0 finally, and everyone's like, you do know it goes higher than that,
too,
right?
6.0, yeah, no, that's exactly what I said. I was just like, you know that that's not the limit.
Wait till you have those 11.5 years.
Wait till you drink a fucking Imperial Stout aged in whiskey, and it's 12.5%, and you drink one of them, and you're like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, that's exactly. But yeah, so it is funny that this song is just kind of, it is us now, where it's just like, And the other thing was just like, I feel like adults just want a day drink because then they're done. They go to sleep at a regular time.
Yeah. And I agree wholeheartedly. True. I end up staying up late, you know, pretty often, but my body can't handle the old, you know, I'm drinking and continuously drinking and then drinking even harder at the very end of the night and then going to sleep. I will just die. I distinctly remember what it was like the first time I had that 2-day hangover where I woke up the next day and I was like, this is horseshit.
Yeah.
We had an agreement. I ruin myself and then I pay for it the next day and then we're good. Nope. Headed into the second day and I was like, this makes me really rethink life choices. My God.
Yeah, I was telling the lady about how she didn't know me in college, so she didn't know what I was capable of back in college. And I was just like, no, I drank 6 to 7 nights a week in college. I would go to class on 2 hours of sleep, either still drunk or hungover. The fact that I was able to do that blows my mind now, because now it's, I go out till midnight, have like 7 beers, and I wake up feeling like shit the next day.
Yep. I like to describe certain things in my college existence to, there was one class I had with Jay, our cousin, for those at home. We had the same class. It was a math class where you do a lot of your homework together and then you take the exams. So we did our homework together, turned it in, got the same scores, and then we would take the tests, and I literally like did the exact same stuff on my test. And she gave me a C, and she gave Jay an A, because I routinely showed up to our classes in the shit that I wore to the bar the night before with the stamps on my hands.
Well, because that was when you used to stay at your ex's, right?
Exactly. And so I would just stay at her place, wake up, wear my bar clothes, go to class, and I am convinced that she hated me because of that. And despite having essentially the same shit down on the paper, I got a worse grade.
Reminds me, someone once told me a story of so if you didn't go to Augie, which none of you did, because no one from Augie listens to this, but even your grade and beyond, people didn't go out for fucking Ribco Thursdays anymore. So we had a thing called Ribco Thursdays. Ribco was a bar at school, and on Thursdays they'd have like $2 wells and dollar beers. I think they raised the price.
They raised it to $1.25
or something.
I think it was $1.50.
Yeah, so they raised them. So it used to be $1. So you go out, you have a $10 tab the other night, but they put this giant fucking stamp on your hand to get in the bar. And so on Friday, if you had the Ribco stamp of shame, people knew you went out to the bars the night before. And I heard that one teacher, just like on Friday, just everyone came in. She goes, everyone show me your hands. And like, so, you know, everyone hold out their hands. And if you had a stamp on the top of your hand, you had to stay for a quiz. Everyone else got to leave.
Yep. I remember when that happened. It was not in my class. Thank God. I would have had to stay.
Yeah. Oh, I stayed. Yeah, I would have stayed every time. Actually, it wouldn't have mattered because I still remember 2 semesters in a row I didn't have Friday classes. So I went out Thursday, Friday, Saturday, every weekend, and it was the best.
That's perfect. But I always did it where I had Tuesdays and Thursdays off because, I mean, with track practice.
Just day on, day off, day on, day
off. Well, that's the thing. So, like, having track practice, I liked having all those days off, but it made it so I could do whatever I want those off days, but then with having my classes on Fridays, that was always a rough Friday.
God. Imagine being able to have the college schedule again.
Oh, ugh. God. The college schedule and the college drinking ability. Like, not just the drinking, not the going in, but also waking up the next day and being like, I'm fine.
I remember my first hangover when I was at Illinois State. I drank so much, I woke up the next day just like, oh, this is terrible. And I had no idea what it was. I was just like, am I getting sick? And then I realized, nope, I'm hungover. And this is what a hangover is.
So that's what this is. Yeah, I remember one time when I woke up, because I would usually wake up and be like, oh, no, I'm fine. And there was one time I was like, I just don't feel good. I don't know why. I just don't feel good. I'm like, oh, that's what it is. I just kind of feel shitty in every way. That's it.
Yeah.
That's a hangover.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway,
wow,
number 6.
That was a great tangent. That was a great tangent. All right.
We're definitely going to have to do another, like, drinking songs episode where, because the first drinking songs episode we did, we didn't even really have a list because it was episode number 2. So it was just us talking about drinking songs. Like, and so we're definitely going to have to do that. Maybe what we could do is this year or next, it started next year, for St. Paddy's Day, we do it again, do another power hour.
Yeah.
And we just have it be about drinking songs.
Cause yeah, we can
if
do that.
If you haven't, I don't know if we talked about it on the podcast. What we're thinking of doing is doing the same power hours we did before, but we're just going to do it as an episode. But people will be able to obviously have questions and shit because it'll be live. But we're going to treat it as a regular episode. So then even later on, if you aren't live, you can listen to the episode and do the power hour stuff with it. So
yeah,
that's kind of what we're thinking of doing. So yeah, maybe we got to do another drinking song. We can tell drinking stories and shit like that on the next power hour. But you know, we should do a power hour again before then because we haven't done one in a while. I think Cinco de Mayo was the last one.
Yes.
But, yeah. Anyway, number six, country music's dead.
You can take a line from one of mine, we'll make it rhyme and keep the fire from burning out. A room full of talking, don't know what we're talking about. Hey. Money is money, doesn't money goes away, so we keep buying. Easy come and easy go, but easy ain't.
Yeah. So this song, I love it also because it's John Baumann who's in the song with them.
Yep.
And if you haven't heard John Baumann's music, is it Baumann or Baumann? I had a neighbor named Baumann, so that's how I always say it. But John Baumann or Baumann, I don't know.
I say Baumann, but I also have, like you said, I don't know.
Yeah. But so this song is about... It's just kind of like the line is, I don't care if country music's dead, because it's about these guys who it's like, I don't care if country music's dead. We're still playing it. Like, this is the music we're playing. And it's not even really like a serious, like protest song. It's not really a protest song as much as it is just kind of like a, we're being us type thing.
Exactly.
It's not saying like screw country music and what it's turned into. It's more of, we're going to do our thing and our thing is country music.
Exactly, because it's more the country music's dead is just, I feel like they're alluding to the fact that the pop shit's taking over, and so the idea of country music may be dead, but they don't really care because they're making what they do, and that you can call it whatever the fuck you want. They're gonna keep doing it.
Yeah, yeah, and it's just a fantastic song. Like we said, definitely check out John Baumann's music. He's amazing. His song "Here We Go" "Here I Am." Is a fantastic fucking song.
Yeah, that song is so good.
Yeah. Number five, Smoke 'Em If You Got 'Em.
When I hear John Boy sing, I miss old friends of mine that don't make 'em like they used to do. Now I'm playing for some boys up in Oklahoma, 'cause they know.
This is definitely their most known song, probably. At least, this is the song that introduced me to them.
Same.
So, yeah. So I'm guessing this is probably their most popular song.
Yeah, and it's another one, you know, about, you know, essentially about the being on the road. Because, you know, throughout the song, they're talking about different places that they're at. But I just really love the line, you know, smoke it if you got them, it's a long way from the bottom, shame on me for never learning anything. Like, I just, it's just, it's upbeat, it's fun, and it's just a great song about, you know, traveling and do, you know, basically living life in the moment and do what you got to do, just have some fun, whatever.
It's got the very classic kind of country rock song, like a do-do-do-do.
Exactly.
Do-do-do-do. Like, it has that, and it's just, it's such an upbeat, catchy song. Like, this is one that has come on, it's rare that I can work out to country music, but this is one of those that comes on, and it's so upbeat and fast, like, it's one I can listen to in the gym and just still be like, I'm gonna run, like, kind of thing. And
it's
a fantastic song. Number four is Steak Night at the Prairie Rose.
Down to Steak Night at the Prairie Rose, a cover band from 10 to close, and my old man sitting right there next to me. They got the ball game on the big TV.
I love this song. It's like one of those story type songs where he's talking about, like, you know, he's talking about how when he was younger, his parents got divorced and he had to choose, and then he would go with his dad to the Prairie Rose, which is like a bar, on steak night, and hear people play music, and just like how that kind of introduced him to the world of country, and how that's what got him into it, was just those nights at this, you know, the steak night at the Prairie Rose. And
his dad really would turn to him and say, like, I'm going to see you up there someday.
Yeah.
Like,
and then at the end,
his son to do it.
And I'm pretty sure at the end, isn't it like he is playing somewhere and he's thinking about it, or he's, his dad's in the crowd or something like that happens where at the end of the song, he is the grown up age thing. And I can't remember exactly what the deal is, but it's a great song.
Yeah, it's such a fantastic song, and obviously it's the titular song of the newest album.
It is a titty song.
It is a titty song. Titty song by Mike Moonpie.
Titty Moonpie.
Titty Moonpie. My name is Titty Moonpie, and I like country music. Speaking of country music, I listened to, I was at the gym and fucking American by Macklemore came on. That's why I had that sarcastic tweet about, like, pop country fans are so stupid they probably think the song American by Macklemore is country.
Yeah.
Because it's just, have you ever heard that song?
I don't know.
It's actually pretty funny because he sings it like a stereotypical redneck, and he's just like, he's like, fuck terrorists. Not, I'm going to fuck a terrorist, but fuck terrorists. And he's like, and then he goes, but seriously, if you saw Osama bin Laden, you wouldn't want to give him one in the butt. it's a really funny song, but, and it's just like, and then, like, he'll go away from the mic. He's like, yeah, Romo. Like, it's actually
that's
really funny.
Like, I don't, Macklemore, I definitely funny, have not heard that, because now that you describe, like, no, I would remember that.
Yeah, I definitely actually suggest it. It's from, like, that first album before even, like, his popular songs came out. It's the same album that has "And We Danced" "And We Cried." Like, it's that one.
Had a really, really, really good time.
That's such a great. That's a jam. That is a fucking jam. I love that song.
That brings me back to college.
Oh yeah. Oh, college. Such a fun time.
What a time,
fat Steve. anyway, number three.
It's funny because it's true.
Oh. I actually showed I showed Megan a picture of me in college, and she's like, yeah, you've definitely lost weight. I'm like, yeah, I was a fucking blimp.
That's a really nice way of, god damn, you were fat, boy.
God damn, you were fucking fat. But yeah, anyway, number three is "One Is the Whiskey."
There ain't no reason to be in here tonight. Same smoky bar, the same drunken fight. But I've got my reasons for not staying at home. One is the whiskey, and the other one's gone.
This is one of those fantastic songs. It's obviously a breakup song because it's one of those, you know, I don't want to say cliche, but it is a song you've heard in a way where it's just like, she's gone, so I drink type songs. But the way it's written is so great. It's like, I'm only here for two reasons. One is the whiskey, and one is because she's gone. Like, and it's fantastic.
I know. It's fucking, I tried to make it go away, and it won't come back.
Well, goodbye. I guess we'll talk.
I got a fantasy football notification that I tried to make it go away, and now it's taking me to fantasy football, and I don't want a fantasy football. I have the game on. I can see what's happening. All right, we're back. But yeah, the that style of song, the I'm drinking because I'm sad and alone now, is one that has been done before, but this is a really well-written song, like you said.
Yeah, it's great. The lyrics make it great.
Yes.
Like, it's just a fantastic. Yeah. But what also is fantastic is number two, "Beaches of Biloxi, Biloxi, blah, blah, blah."
The beaches of Biloxi got the best of me.
Beaches of Mississippi.
Beaches of Biloxi?
No, I love this. This is probably, I mean, it, the way that I ranked them, I feel like this is what I put higher as favorite song off that album, or maybe not. I don't know. I love this song.
Three of yours.
Oh, well, son of a bitch. I mean, no, like, as far as off of the that album.
Oh, it's your highest off the newest album.
That's what I was thinking, because I love the sound of it, and it's, you know, Beaches of Biloxi. Apparently, there's a bunch of casinos in Biloxi. I had no idea. I've never been there. But then the whole song about him, you know, like hoping that he cannot lose his ass because the casinos always seem to win and he wants to try to not fucking lose all of his money at the beaches of Biloxi. And it's just got a tremendous sound.
It's good.
True.
It's just nice because it's one of those, like, it's a story song type thing where it's, yeah, it's one of the where you're probably never going to be in that situation, but it's still kind of relatable in a way.
If I ever go to Biloxi, I'll be thinking about how there's casinos here, apparently.
Yeah. But anyway, number one is our first unanimous in, I don't know, a couple weeks, maybe.
Forever.
I don't know. I don't know what the last unanimous one was. But number one is I Don't Love You.
'Cause I don't love you, it's too hard to say.
I don't know who sings this with him, do you know?
I don't. I was thinking about that. Because I should have fucking looked that
up. Her voice is so familiar that I just don't fucking know. Let me see if I can find it. Nope.
See who finds it first. See who finds it first. No. I'll just keep looking.
No, I'm going to look it first. I'm going to find it.
Dead radio.
Carson McCone.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Carson McCone.
It is.
Yeah, Carson McCone. Hell, she's one that we've talked about before. She is fucking phenomenal.
That's why she sounded so familiar, because her album came out literally, what was that, like 2 weeks ago?
A week or two ago.
And we were listening to it because it was tremendous. That's why it sounded so familiar. Yeah. That's awesome.
I've listened to her song, Dram Shop Gal. I listened to it a while ago. Listen to the one from the EP, because honestly, I don't think the one from the album is that great. But, that's why her voice was so familiar. Carson McCone is fantastic. But this, we mentioned that it was John Palm on the one. So, yeah, it's the second duet by them that we have on the top. And I think it might just be the only other duet they even have. But it's just this amazing song where it's just like, I need you, but I don't love you type thing.
Yeah.
I came up with the lyric.
It's just so beautiful the way that he's talking, like trying to explain throughout the song at the beginning about why they should break up and he doesn't love them. And so he says, I don't love you is too hard to say. But then he says, like, but I don't think about you anymore. And so it's just a really well-written song for anyone who's been in a dying relationship situation. It's like, wow, that's profound and like really well written and really heartbreaking. And then when it comes like full circle at the end of the song, and then, you know, he says like, I love you. And does he say like, I love you is hard to say, and but you're all I think about. And so it just like comes to a conclusion of he kind of didn't realize what he had in the moment, and now he has regret. But then also throughout the song, the, you know, I don't love you is too hard to say, but I don't, you know, I don't think about you anymore. It's just, it's really depressing, but really beautiful and such a great song.
Yeah. It is a fantastical. Ah, shit. I just realized I never wrote down what the albums were.
Mason Crosby missed a kick.
If this is your first episode, we are Bears fans, so fuck the Packers.
God damn right.
God damn right.
And if you're a Packer fan listening to this and you are not born in the state of Wisconsin, fuck you.
Well, the thing I've, not to make this about football again, like we always do, but
let's go.
The thing I realized is the Packers were an easy bandwagon to jump on with, when you're our age, because when they were good was the 90s when we were young and susceptible to like things.
And you so think it's about an easy teams, one to jump on. Yeah, and you hit teams that have a bandwagon following, like they had Favre and then they have now Rodgers. So you've got 20 some years of Hall of Fame quarterback play. It's a really easy one to jump on the wagon for. And I don't care if you're a fan and you jumped on the wagon. Just don't try to tell me about the proud history of the Green Bay Packers and all that bullshit when you didn't know who they were until Brett Favre happened.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, so Alabama came out. I've found them. Yeah, go Bears. Let me get back to the list. So since we were off for 2 weeks, we got 2 weeks of albums to talk about. 2 weeks ago on 11/4, day before 5th of November.
Remember the day before the 5th of November.
But there was an album by a guy named Brian Moffitt, which is really good. He's very good, very attractive. And an album by the Pistolanis, which is Miranda Lambert, Ash McBride, and Angelina Presley?
Correct.
Yeah. And that album is fantastic. They're very good, very traditional, very attractive.
Very attractive.
Definitely check those out. And then last week was, let me scroll up to it, was a band named Jake Bartley Band, who they have 59 followers on Twitter.
Damn.
Like they're brand new and their album is really fucking good. And then, not that it's an album, but Zane Williams had a new song come out, which is really good
too.
So yeah, there wasn't too much in the last 2 weeks. Those are the only ones I saw.
Yeah. I was going to say, because I didn't really listen to much new stuff, and I wasn't sure if that was just because I was being my typical not paying attention self, or if it really wasn't that much.
But going into what we're listening to, we have to admit when we're wrong, Kevin, and we're not wrong, because Kane Brown still sucks, but we listened to his album, and he has two songs that are actually good. And it's weird.
Would argue that.
Or one is good, one is just decent.
Yes, because I would say Baby Come Back, the lead single, or not lead single, but the lead song.
Lead song.
Off of Kane Brown's new album is legitimately good. Not just decent, not oh, that's pretty much okay, I can get why people like it, but it's not for me. That is a good song, and I do like it. It's very hard to say.
It's a genuinely good song.
Yeah, it hurts me to say these words, but I'm not going to be the thick-headed dumb fuck that's like, I don't like anything, baby. Like, no, I heard it.
Kane Brown, never heard of her.
Yeah, I listened to all of the shit that sucks because I need to know if it does or does not suck. I listened to this album. That song was good. I liked it. The rest of the album I did not like.
The other one that I just think it's good because lyrically it's a very popish country song, but it still is a country song. It reminds me of the days of when pop country started rising, where it was still country, but it started having the little bit of hip hop in it, but it wasn't egregious yet. But it's called It Ain't You, It's Me. And I love the lyrics more than anything in the song because the lyrics are like, obviously, you know the line, it ain't you, it's me, or it's not you, it's me, when you're talking about breaking up. But the lyrics get swapped where it's just like, you're not the one going through hell right now. You're not doing this. You're not suffering after this breakup. It ain't you, it's me. And I love that twist of the lyrics.
That is pretty good.
Yeah, where it's just like, it's not you who's suffering through this, it's me. And so it's just a twist on that, it ain't you, it's me lyric, and I fucking, it's just a really good breakup song. It's just, yeah, it's a little poppy, which is
that's where, to be completely fair to him, I listened to the whole album, but I wasn't paying too much attention to any song that was clearly like not gonna be a good sounding country song, because especially after the first song is one that I'm like, wow, I actually like that. I was like, okay, let's see what else we got, and then every single other one was like not that at all. So I was like, all right, fuck it. So I really didn't pay too much attention to the
definitely,
lyrics.
I would definitely check out it. Just give it another listen. It Ain't You, It's Me, because the lyrics are really fucking good in that song.
Yeah, I'll give it a shot because when I just vehemently bash Sam Hunt or Walker Hayes, it's because I listened to it and I absolutely hate it.
It's bad.
It's not because I saw someone on the internet be like, this guy blows. I have these opinions myself.
Yeah, it's like when we should talk anyone, we've listened to that. Like, if Kevin goes like, oh, this band won this award, and I'll go, who the fuck is that? Because I genuinely haven't listened to them, and I'm not going to shit-talk them because I haven't heard of them. I've listened to Dan O'Shea's music. It's fucking awful. I've listened to Low Cash, and they have a song called Best Seat in the House, which is an amazing song. But what they're known for is not good.
Yeah.
Like, Old Dominion is trash.
I listened to their whole album. I was like, wow, this is not good.
Isn't it because Tim was like, I love Old Dominion. Yes. Like, I'm going to listen to it just so I know you're wrong. And you listen to it, you're like, and you're wrong.
And I literally went right back to him, and I was like, Tim, you are wrong. This is bad.
But yeah, like, we listen to this shit so we can actually be critics of it, because, yeah, I don't want to be, like how we've had episodes about, like, good songs from bad people, which we might have to do an episode two just to have that Kane Brown song on.
Yeah,
it. But,
absolutely.
We listen to these artists who have, like, a couple good songs. Like, when people ask, like, why'd you guys do a Jason Aldean episode? He's not country. I'm like, listen to it and realize he has good music. It's just what he does now isn't good.
Exactly, because I really don't like, you know, you mentioned the never heard of her, you know, come back to any person.
So dumb.
One, it's really dumb. It's not original. And to be actually saying something sexist AF, that is legitimately sexist to say never heard of her. Like that is to try to discount some dude's music for that reason. Like, that is. But I hate those people that do that shit. And like, the same people who, like, I don't listen to anything that's recorded after the year, whatever. It's like, okay, fuck you. You don't have an open mind. I don't really respect your musical opinion because you haven't given anything a chance. Like, you can't actually know that this stuff sucks unless you've heard it. I'm not saying try to listen to it a million times, but just give it a fucking listen so that you can then come out like I do and say, that shit is hot diarrhea, fire hose into my eardrums.
Yeah, it's like, there hasn't been good music since Garth Brooks. It's like, have you heard of Cody Jinks?
Exactly.
Like,
it's such a nonsense argument to say. It's just a fucking, it's a hot take. It's a musical hot take.
Yeah, it's fucking stupid. And just, yeah, so like when people say, like, why don't you like Kane Brown? I'm like, because I've heard what he's popular or what he's known for. That shit sucks.
Yes.
Like, when you say Kane Brown's good because he sang George Strait songs, I'm like, yeah, George Strait is also sang George Strait songs. He's good. But it's like I remember when my friend was up at Country Thunder this year, she was with her friends who love Sam Hunt, so obviously they were watching Sam Hunt. And she's like, he actually sang a couple good country songs. Like, apparently he went acoustic and actually sang, which I understand. Sam Hunt is talented. Don't get me wrong. I know he's a good singer.
Yes.
And I know he's a decent songwriter, but he's not country.
Yes.
So she goes, he's actually singing country songs. And I go, you kick five puppies and hug one puppy, you're still a puppy kicker. Like, I'm sorry. Like, it doesn't fucking change the fact that the rest of his music sucks. And that's what sucks about Kane Brown, is that we have listened to one genuinely amazing song. If you tell me, if Cody Jinks recorded that song, just his voice over it, it would be the same thing. It would be just as fucking good.
And that was the thing that I realized as I was listening to that song. I was like, God, this is almost more aggravating, because now
knowing
I know
that he's talented.
I now know what he could sound like. And if he had a whole record of songs with that kind of style, because he even had like a little bit of that like grittiness to his voice when he did certain lines, and I was like, that's great. This dude's got a good voice already, and I knew that. He's just made pop shit, so whatever.
Yeah, and it
but
sucks.
I was like, wow, he could be really good.
And what sucks is that people go, well, it sells. That's what sells. I'm like, you could have Kane Brown, one, either sing George Strait-type songs on an entire album, or you could have him fart into a microphone for an entire album. It doesn't matter. Girls find him attractive. They are going to buy it. So why doesn't he just put out an actual country album? Because his fans are so clinging to him, they will buy it.
I kind of feel
you can use that as an entrance into country music.
I kind of feel like he might be a dude that later on, I mean, like, I'm not saying like a full length album, but I wouldn't be surprised if he does like straight up come out with like an EP of like straight up country song, even if they're just covers, but something to put out there to be like, look, like, I'd be like, wow, that's awesome. Good for you. Yeah. But also the rest of your shit's terrible.
And once this country, once this pop country fad, it is a fad. It's a fad going, it's going on longer than we wish it would, but it is a fad and it's going to die. And the equilibrium of, you know, the music is going to straighten out again. And it is going to go country. And these guys are going to have to admit that music sucked and they're going to put out country music. So in 20 years, when Kane Brown is, you know, in his late 40s or whatever, however old he is, he's going to be singing, hopefully, actual country music. And I can say, yeah, I like that Lizard Man and what he does. Like,
his eyes may be too far apart. But.
But, yeah.
I don't know what my point would be, but his eyes are too far apart.
So, if Kane Brown is the future of country music, as Miss Moss of Rolling Stone said, if he is the future of country music, I hope he's actually making country music. And if he is the face of country, I hope more of Baby Come Back to Me is what is playing on the radio. Because I'm okay if he's the future country, if that's the music he's making.
Yeah.
But if it's more of Weekend and Heaven or whatever those other fucking songs are called, I don't know. Get away.
Yes.
Walk away.
Yes.
Just walk away. Like, I hate
walk
you.
Away, bro.
Walk away.
Walk
bro.
Away, bro.
But yeah. So that's it for this week. Please follow us. Go to countrycollegepodge.com to find articles that we wrote that aren't good.
Bad.
I went back and read one of my reviews, and I was like, while I get my points, I'm not a good writer. Like,
oh no, me neither.
I was
decent, like, in high school. Like, I was good at writing in high school, but that was writing high school shit. Like, I'm not a fucking journalist. The fact that we even tried to do that for as long as we did. Stupid.
We weren't good. The website, I would kill the website, but one, it's a good way of keeping the podcast out there, and two, I'd like our brand.
The website looks cool, you know, like, even if we don't put shit up there, it looks cool.
It may be conceited of me to think, but, I mean, you helped design the logo, you got the basic look,
just
flushed it out.
Never forget.
I think our logo's dope, and so...
Oh, I love it.
I don't want to kill it. I want the Country Hodgepodge brand to live on, but, the Hodgepodge cast, baby, from Country Hodgepodge. But you can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Country Hodgepodge. Spotify, you can find Hodgepodge cast picks where every week we upload the songs we talk about, if they're on Spotify, which sometimes they're not. You can find on the link through the website, or if you search the username Donkey Factory, one word. You got Kevin's picks of the week, where every Monday he tweets out, or I tweet it out, but he puts 10 different songs on there. Sometimes they're usually country. Sometimes he's got some rock songs on there. All good. Then every Friday we tweet out the playlist, Friday's New Music, where you can check out all the best music released that week. You can buy one of our dumb shirts on a link through the site, or if you go to T Public, search Country Hodgepodge. None of them have gotten taken down recently, so
yay.
You can find me on Instagram at CHP_Clifftron, where I post pictures of my puppies. You can find Kevin on Twitter and Instagram, where he posts pictures of his dick. Please rate and review the podcast on iTunes. Help us get found. I love all of you that have been listening. We're closing in on 21,000 fucking plays, which blows my fucking mind.
There's a lot of people out there who have heard me say some weird shit.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, thank you to everyone who's listening. Hopefully you'll come back next week for us if this is your first. If not, hopefully you enjoyed it not enough to call us out for hate speech or some shit. I don't know.
No one knows anymore.
But that's it for this week. Next week we're going to be talking about Kane Brown and Sam Hunt. So until next week. Until next week, I'm Steve Hodge. As always, joined by Kevin Hodge, saying goodbye, good night, and good Sharpie.
Love you.